The following program is rated U for universal audiences and is considered suitable for listeners of all ages.
This is a presentation of Dream Realm Enterprises, where dreams are our reality.
Hey, welcome back to Q Who, or the quintessential Whoian. My name is John Russell, and I am your host for this podcast. And, of course, we talk about classic Doctor Who on this podcast. And today we are going to be reviewing Season 24 of Doctor Who that is on Blu-ray. It is the Blu-ray set for season 24, or as it is called here in the U.S., the complete season one of Sylvester McCoy. I still don't know why they insist on calling these sets complete season one or whatever of whoever, you know, whatever particular doctor, instead of season 24 as they are in the U.K. and I would have supposed the rest of the world. But all the same, it is a silly marketing thing that is unnecessary and, if anything, more confusing than ever. But my thinking is that their thinking is that because of the new series, which they over here call season 1, 2, 3, and, you know, up, they don't want to confuse people with calling the original series season 1 through 26, you know. but to me, that's just even more confusing. But to call it Sylvester McCoy complete season 1, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I guess they think Americans aren't quite as bright as the rest of the world. I don't know. But we do get it. And as Doctor Who fans, we get it. Maybe the average person might be a little confused, but I think they'd be confused either way, so I don't think it matters. All the same, I've been watching this set. Yes, I'm a little late to the game as far as reviewing this set, but I only just recently managed to acquire it, and this is indeed the American version. It's not in the big limited edition box set from Britain. I haven't bought any of those yet. I may at some point, just to see what the major differences are, which I think is mostly just in packaging. I think the discs are pretty much, you know, the same. It's just the region encoding that's different. But, all the same. With this set, of course, it's a bit pricey for what it is. I mean, it's 4 stories, 14 episodes, and ends up being 8 discs. I guess that's how they justify it. And what they've done is they've got 2 discs per story. And you've got the standard remastered edition of the televised episodes on one disc. And then on the second disc for that story, you've got the extended version. All these stories have extended versions. Now, going through all of this, there's really not a whole lot of deleted material that they could add back into that. And the only episode in the entire run that seems to be significantly affected, you know, and helped by all this would be part one of Delta and the Bannermen. It's the longest one of the lot that I can see. And it is the only one that has any significant deletions that, in my opinion, at least, help the story along at all. The others, it's just mostly establishing stuff or extended scenes or what have you. And the extensions don't seem to really help those stories whatsoever. Delta's the only one that really benefits from this, and it's really only part one that really benefits from this. So it's kind of a waste of time in a way, unless you just want to see, you know, extended cuts of those stories. And it doesn't seem like they've done any major remastering on the extended editions. They seem to be just standard additions with extra scenes, which is a shame because they don't seem to look quite as glossy, perhaps, as the regular televised remastered stories. And to be honest with you, I can't say that the Blu-ray effect, you know, upgrading it to supposedly HD has really helped any of these episodes. So if you've already got this season or these four stories on DVD, I don't think you're really upgrading as far as the episodes themselves are concerned. I don't think you're getting that much of an upgrade to see them on Blu-ray. There is a little more detail and so forth. So if that's your thing, then yeah, it makes it absolutely worth it. And it makes it absolutely worth it to get the extended cuts, and it makes it absolutely worth it for the new features that are on here, because there are a few new special features, like a making of documentary for Delta and the Mannermen, which is actually 45 minutes long, and it is actually a very good documentary. For me personally, I really like Delta and the Mannermen, especially after seeing this new Blu-ray version, the extended cut in particular. I find myself appreciating the story even more. I've always kind of had a soft spot for it, even though a lot of fans have really said that they hated it. I even heard one reviewer once who called Delta and the Mannermen crap. That's when the DVD first came out of that story, and this was, I think, 2012, something like that. 2011, 2000, somewhere in there, when Delta and the Mannermen finally came out on DVD. And Delta and the Mannermen is not crap. As far as this season is concerned, season 24, it's, you know, obviously it's got a reputation. It's a bit silly. It wasn't the best start for Sylvester McCoy. They were still trying to figure out what they were going to do with this new doctor. And there was a lot of turmoil at the time because J&T was forced to fire Colin Baker. And we all know what happened with the whole trial situation, trial of a Time Lord. So there was a lot going on, you know, they had to cast a new doctor. The BBC wasn't 100% certain if Sylvester McCoy was it. So that whole story is on this set. And actually Sylvester McCoy's, audition tape is on this set, as well as a couple of other audition tapes from a couple other gentlemen who were sort of up for the part, but not really. It's all explained in here, so I'm not going to spoil it all. If you do decide to purchase this set, it kind of makes it worth the set just to learn all these behind-the-scenes things. Some of it was there in the standard DVD extras, but there's more to the story, which is revealed on this particular Blu-ray set in the extras, in the new extras. So that's all kind of fascinating. For me, it kind of makes it worth it. I didn't pay full price for this, by the way, because I didn't buy it the minute that it came out here in America, because I think the retail price, at least at Amazon, was $59.99 or something like that. So it was $60. And I think the suggested retail price was higher than that. It was supposed to be about $70. To me, these sets are not worth it, especially this set would not be worth the full asking price, $60 or $70. I wouldn't have paid that for this. The only one that I paid anywhere close to that for was actually Jon Pertwee's second season, or as we all know it, season 8. So that's the only one that I paid because I wanted to get it right away. And that's the only one that I've actually paid a big amount for. The rest of them I waited a little while to get once on a reduced rate. I think I even got a couple of them for about $25 a piece. I paid about $45 for this one. And overall, it's worth it because I enjoy some of the stories here. I enjoy Delta the Mannermen and Dragonfire, I thought were pretty good stories. Upon viewing Delta and the Mannermen again on this set, I've come to appreciate it even more. So I think that is the hidden gem of this season. And I think it's a very underrated story. A lot of people, like I said, a lot of fans hate that story. They're really down on it. I don't know why that one in particular is so hated when you've got other stories that fall even shorter. I think Time and the Ronnie is just a mess. I've always felt Time and the Ronnie was just a mess. And Paradise Towers really hasn't aged at all, in my opinion, either. So I have a lesser opinion of that one than I ever had, even in watching this set. There are interesting ideas in all of these stories, but I think the only stories that really worked were Delta and the Bannerman and Dragonfire, especially Delta. I think that really actually did work for what it was. It's not supposed to be Shakespeare. It's not supposed to be, you know, high art. It's not supposed to be serious science fiction. It's a fun romp. You kind of leave your brain at the door and you enjoy it. And that's what it's for. It was perfect escapism, in my opinion. So it's not a perfect story, don't get me wrong. And it's certainly not one of the best classic series stories. But I think it actually should rank higher than it often is. The other special features on here, of course, we have the Behind the Sofa series that they do, where they get some of the actors from this particular season, and they get some other actors from other periods from the show, and sometimes behind-the-scenes people. In this case, they've got Colin Baker and Michael Jaston watching this season. They've got Sylvester McCoy, Sophie Aldred, and Bonnie Langford watching. And they've also got Peter Davison and two of his companions, Nyssa and Tegan, Janet Fielding, and Sarah Sutton, of course. I went blank for a second on her name, but Sarah Sutton and Janet Fielding, along with Peter Davison. So the thing with the Behind the Sofas for me is they always seem a bit odd. They're supposed to be sort of commentary, video commentaries for the episodes of whatever season that they're doing, and they take these actors and technical people sometimes, and they sit them down originally on a sofa, but with COVID, the last two or three releases have had them sort of separated by a glass partition, and each of them sitting in like an easy chair or something, as is the case with this one. But they sit them down and make them watch a season's worth of Doctor Who and then react to it. And so it's kind of like a reaction video with these stars. And to me, sometimes it's really odd. Some of the choices are really odd of people that they get to watch these things. For me, it's a bit odd to have Peter Davis and Janet Fielding and Sarah Sutton. I mean, they're, you know, Sarah Sutton is completely delightful. But as far as Peter and Janet, they always seem to not enjoy the experience. And if anything, they mock it and down it. And never find anything, especially Peter Davison, never finds anything positive with any of the Doctor Who's that he does commentaries for or is interviewed about. So I don't really get it. And I for the life of me, still don't really get why you get people who weren't associated with those stories to come and do, even a video reaction like this, a reaction video or commentary for a story they're not involved with. With the Colin Baker bit, that's actually kind of interesting, because this is what, for him, it's what might have been. You know, he might have been involved in this season and these stories if he'd, hadn't been fired. So it's kind of interesting to see his reactions. But beyond that, I often don't get these behind the sofa things because, you know, I don't know why we should care what these actors who really, most of them aren't really Doctor Who fans, like Peter Davison, for instance. He claims to be a Doctor Who fan, but he never finds anything positive in it and always complains about it and always sends it up in his comments. So he's always negative about the classic series, at least. So I never understand why that is. It's one thing to see him and his companions watching their stories, but it's another kind of oddity to see them watching like Sylvester McCoy's episodes, especially this first season, which they're not going to get money. You know, they're not going to get anything out of it because they weren't satisfied with their era. They're certainly not going to be satisfied with the Sylvester McCoy era. So that, it to me is a bit odd, and I wouldn't have put that trio in there. I think we'd have been okay with, you know, Sylvester, Sophie, and Bonnie, and perhaps even Colin Baker and Michael Jaston, though I don't get why they chose Michael Jaston, except that he was just the previous villain in the story prior to the season. But I would have just stuck with those two. Those two sets of people. I don't see the need for the inclusion of Peter Davison and his companions for the Behind the Sofa on this. And they don't add anything to it whatsoever. So, and I kind of cringe at their bits because, again, they never seem to have anything positive to say. So it just doesn't, to me, it doesn't make any sense at all. And these Behind the Sofa things don't make a lot of sense. The only ones I really ever find interesting to hear are the people who are actually involved with those stories that were there. And so I am still struggling to find what's so special about the Behind the Sofa series. Though, you know, it's another extra that we've never seen before, so I guess that just adds to the value, as it were. But, yeah, overall, you've got 8 discs, and there's a whole lot of special features, most of them from the DVDs. So unless you are just desperate to have that slight, and I mean very slight, HD upgrade, and the new features that are on here, I think you're okay with the DVDs if you're okay with owning the DVDs and not owning this Blu-ray set. I hate to say it, but you're probably just as well off, or just waiting a while longer, because this set will probably go down in value as time goes by. I suspect in a year or so it'll probably be around the $30 to $35 mark. Like many of the others that have been released, at least over here in the U.S., you know, a lot of the Tom Baker's and Peter Davison's first season and so forth, they're now around the $25 to $30 mark. And even the first Pertwee set that they released, which was season 10, I believe. That one is going for around $30. So, you know, you can wait. I don't think that they're going to be out of print anytime soon, unless the sales just completely dip. And of course, for anything from 1970 up, it's going to do well here in America. And I think in America, we've waited a long time for these complete season sets. That's how we're used to buying TV shows, is by season or by complete series. With Doctor Who, you couldn't do a complete series because it's 26 seasons and, gosh, like almost 2,000 episodes. That would be a big set. But, we're accustomed to buying seasons. So some of the individual DVDs didn't sell as well, especially the early black and whites and the later, you know, Sylvester and Colin Baker stuff. But as seasons, they probably do a little bit better. And I think if you really want to complete the set as a, you know, as a collector, yeah, wait a little while and let it go down even further. I waited a couple of months and, you know, and paying about $20 less. I paid about $20 less than what the pre-order price was at Amazon. So, like I said, I got this set for about $45 after they marked it down. It will, like I said, it'll go down further. So,
If you're just wanting to complete the collection and you don't really care about this season, wait for that to happen. Wait for that to happen. It's not a must-have right away. There's some interesting stuff here, don't get me wrong. And I do have a soft spot for a couple of the stories. Like I said, Delth and the Bannerman and the Dragonfire, I think, are perfectly fine stories for what they are. Neither of them are perfect. Dragonfire is notable because it's the first appearance of Ace. And has some good performances, has some silly performances, has some, you know, as with this entire season, there are some interesting concepts, but there are some silly ideas in it as well. And that's each of the stories are that way. And there are some good performances and there are not so good performances. But there are a lot of, you know, big name British stars in this season. And it's, you know, what makes certain things like Time of the Rani, what makes it worth watching is you've got a new Doctor and of course you've got the Rani in it. Kate O'Mara is terrific as the Rani, even if the material isn't very good. With Paradise Towers, you've got Richard Briers. I mean, he's one of my favorite actors period of all time. And he's certainly one of the best British actors you're going to find in this series. With Delth and the Bannerman, there's a whole host of big names in this. Ken Dodd and Stubby Kay and my goodness, the list just goes on. There's a lot of great people in it. And actually, I think Delth and the Bannerman is one of those overlooked gems. I think it's a lot of fun. If you don't look too closely at it, if you don't examine it with the micro, you know, with the if you don't examine it too closely and under the microscope, then just leave your brain at the door and enjoy it, you can enjoy it. So if you examine it too closely and, you know, any story you can pick out the flaws, then you can ruin it for yourself. But with this one, it's actually a fun little romp. So give it another try. If you haven't seen it for years and you thought it wasn't very good, give it another try. It's especially if you get this set, watch the extended version. You might have a better appreciation for it. And watch the documentary that they created for this set. And you might have a better appreciation for it. So, and Dragonfire, of course, you've got the wonderful Tony Selby back as Glitz and others. So it's, you know, and the debut of Ace, which for me, for my money, is one of the best companions of the classic series. I always loved Ace. You've got that. And that's what, for me, always made Dragonfire worthwhile, even though a lot of it is silly, especially that first cliffhanger, which is literally Sylvester hanging off a cliff. But overall, the set is fun. It's a fun set. I'm happy to own it because I am trying to collect all these Blu-ray sets. And, of course, I love the classic series. And there's not a story that in the classic series that I can say I hate. But with that said, this season actually has two of the stories that are probably on the bottom of my list of Doctor Who stories, probably at the top of my list of least favorite stories. I can't tell you which one is worse, Time in the Rani or Paradise Towers. I'm not very fond of either one. I probably will give it to Time in the Rani for being the worst classic Doctor Who story. Certainly not the worst ever Doctor Who story. We've seen worse things in the new series, trust me. So yeah. So it's, you know, there are things that are watchable in both of those stories. And, of course, with Kate O'Mara and Richard Briers, respectively, yeah, they make it worthwhile to revisit those stories now and again, but they're certainly not stories I would watch over and over again because there's very little in there for me. But Delth and the Bannerman, loved it. Dragonfire, I really like that one. So is the set worth it? If you get it at around the $30 to $35 mark, yes, it's absolutely worth getting this set. If you've got the DVDs already and you don't care about the extra features that are new or having them in pristine HD, which they're not, I can honestly say that I don't think the BBC have put as much love into restoring these episodes, and there's only so much you can do on most of those. You know, they're videotaped. There's no film. You know, they weren't filmed. These were videotaped. This was all videotaped during the last few years of Doctor Who. That's all they did. So it's got that soap opera effect. So there's only so much they can do with that. You know, you can upgrade it a little bit for HD, but not by a large amount, you know, not by miles. So if you're happy with your DVDs and you don't want to spend the extra money and you don't care about having every one of these Blu-ray sets, then don't worry about it. And I hate to say that. It's a shame to say that to anybody. Not that I can't recommend it, but if you're that type of person, then I'm not going to recommend it to you. But if you want to complete the collection and you love Sylvester McCoy's era, then it's a must-own, you know. So take that for what it is. But, you know, I've enjoyed what I've seen of this. I've watched just about everything on there, except for some of the older stuff that I'd already seen on DVD. The only thing I did there was just go through it and see if, you know, any of that stuff looked any better than it did on DVD, and it's all pretty standard. You know, it's a decent set. And they got the worst season and threw it out there. They certainly didn't want to save that till last. They wanted to save something better for later. So we've got better stuff coming. We've got season 17 coming, which is a better season. It's not the best season by miles, but it's a better season than this. So I look forward to that, and I will review that when I do get my hands on it. Whenever that will be. So thanks guys for listening. I'm going to wrap it up here. Season 24. It's, you know, it probably is the worst season of Doctor Who, but there are some good things in it. Delta and the Bannermen is a highlight, and I really love that story even more now than I ever did before. So I really that made it worth it for me. I had a great time watching that last night. So anyway, thanks guys. I will talk to you again soon. Probably the next time you hear from me is in another DBB episode coming up real, real soon. So until then, guys, you know the drill. Stay tuned.
You have been listening to a fan production for Dream Realm Enterprises. This is a not-for-profit program.